Hi, everybody. How are you? Kevin Goatee, gutting the sacred cow. Yeah, it's time for a brand new spanking episode. That's right. This week, we've got Pat Dixon from New York City Crime Report on Compound Media doing Black Panther. That's right, guys. One of the most profitable, beloved superhero films about to be cut in half by Pat Dixon. Before we get to it, do not forget, we love you. Thank you so much for everything you've done so far. Thank you for your support, your love, your kind words, everything. Everything, you guys have been the best. If you have not yet done so, please, 2 or 3 sentence review with a 5-star rating. And if you can be so good, if you want to donate a few bucks, we're on Patreon as well. Find us there. Lastly, if you want us to advertise with us, guttingthesacredcow@gmail.com. And this episode, I screwed up a little bit. The audio is a little off on my end. I goofed a few weeks ago when we did the episode with Bill Schultz and Superman. I had an audio issue. I promise it's been fixed after this episode, so bear with me. Without any further ado, here's Pat Dixon doing Black Panther.
Gather around, here's what I know. It's just that this cow has got to go. I know some people kinda like it, yeah, it's training right now.
Yeah, that doesn't
matter, cause we're good in the sacred cow.
Do you like Phil Collins? I've been a big Genesis fan ever since the release of their 1980 Duke. Before that, I really don't understand any of their work. Too artsy, too intellectual. Kevin Israel, name that film.
See, sometimes you just insult me. And I know sometimes you make it hard. And then other times you're just like, oh, I'm going to be nice to him and give him one he'll know. It's American Psycho.
Yes, it is. Kevin Israel, Kevin Goatee, gutting the sacred cow. Here we are again. Brand new episode. Thank you all so much for joining us on another week. We cannot thank you enough for all the love and the responses we get from Twitter on you guys and the sharing and all the good vibes, and continue to do so. Please continue to leave us those 5-star ratings with a 2 or 3 sentence review. We appreciate that. GuttingTheSacredCow.com. Joining us today, I think we've pretty much exhausted the entire Rolodex of Compound Media, because today we've got ourselves, finally, we got our Pat Dixon from the Crime Report on Compound Media. Pat, how are you? Welcome to the show.
Great. Yeah, thanks for having me. Very pleased to be the very last one at Compound.
Pat, talk to us. So Crime Report on Compound Media, anywhere else we can find you? What are you up to?
Well, New York City Crime Report is a show that's specifically about New York, and it's on, everywhere you find podcasts. Also, another show that I do is called Too Woke, Too F, and it's a sort of a parody show. It's unusual. It's not for everybody. It's got sort of a certain bent, but I enjoy it. Also, do TBD on Compound and Safe Space with Tlaib Starks. I try to stay busy. Some stand-up dates coming up. Crime Report NYC is where you can find everything out, though. Crime Report NYC.
Check it out, folks. Good stuff.
Thanks.
Pat has come on, and I guess we're back. Like I said before, Kevin Israel, we had a recent episode with Bill Schultz with Superman. We're relighting the superhero genre as Pat has selected the mega classic, mega loved Black Panther. 2017, it came out, a budget of $200 million, a haul of $1.3 billion, 2020 money, $215 million budget, $1.39 billion haul. That is some
fucking budget of a small country.
It's a budget of about 40 countries in Africa, I think.
And did the money change that much, huh? From 17 to 2020.
Yeah, it did.
Enough to actually give a separate figure. Wow, that's what was the dollar worth? A 2020 dollar in 2017?
It's $1.04. Is $1.04.
$1.04. Yeah. Those pennies really add up when you got hundreds of millions.
Yeah, when you're talking billion.
Yeah.
God, Jesus, unbelievable.
When you're making 150 grand a year, it ain't shit. When you're making over a billion a year, that adds up really fucking fast.
I really wouldn't know about either.
Pat's like, 5 figures, crushing that. 6? That is a bridge too far, kids.
5. All right. Well, you know.
You get a raise there? IMDb, as we know, is a scale 1 through 10 with decimal points. We're going to go to our guest, Pat Dixon. Pat, what do you think Black Panther scored on the IMDb scale?
Gee, IMDb, I don't know how they arrive at it. It's not like, is it fan-sourced, like Rotten Tomatoes?
It's an aggregate of everything.
Okay, then probably, it was a very popular movie, made a lot of money, and it has all the right messages and everything, so I'd say that it probably got a pretty high score, probably somewhere between 7.5 and 8.
All right, we'll go 7.5, I'll just give you that number. Kevin Israel, how about you?
9.1.
7.3.
Really? That's it? Wow.
Shocking, right?
They both overbid.
Yeah, they did. Critics, Rotten Tomatoes score 1 through 100 with percentages. Kevin Israel, what did the critics give Black Panther?
I feel like this. The critics love this movie. 89.
Pat.
Can I just say higher or lower?
You like card sharks?
90.
96.
Wow.
Just stuck.
I don't know why
you scared off. IMDb scared me off.
Yeah, you should have known that was an easy one to go high on. How about audience, Pat Dixon? What did the audience give Black Panther?
It has to be 100 or less. Wow, 100, I would say. Very close to 100.
Oof, going all out on the ball scale. Kevin Israel, give me an audience score.
92.
79.
What?
Yeah.
This makes no sense.
Yep.
We're in the upside down.
Well, this is one of those artsy movies where the critics love it, but the people are lukewarm.
Very artsy.
Quotes? Not many. The obvious, Wakanda forever. That is the only quote I got out of this film. Kevin Israel, quote out of you?
Did I have any quotes from this?
Probably not.
Oh, the old American movie that Baba used to watch. I think they were talking about Back to the Future.
They were. That was one of the five fun facts I thought was too goddamn obvious. You're right. Pat Dixon, any quotes jump out you from Black Panther?
The one that I recall is, remember the ancestors.
With accent and everything.
Yeah.
You really did that voiceover, didn't you, Pat?
Yeah.
That sounded more Terrence Stamp-like to me, but okay. Five fun facts.
Five fun facts. Whoa, five fun facts. Five fun facts. Five fun facts. Five fun facts.
Want to take a guess in 1992 who tried to get Black Panther made, but it never got past developmental phase? I'll give you two hints. In the 90s, mega action star. Number two, black guy.
You're asking me?
Yeah.
Sorry. Wesley Snipes.
Oh, that's what I was going to go with.
You're both right. It is Wesley Snipes.
He wanted to be two black superheroes for Marvel?
Yeah, but one was better than the other. Which one was it? All those people considered for the role of Black Panther are Chadwick Boseman. Only guy considered. Kevin Feige brought him up in a meeting. 24 hours later, the role was booked. Fun fact.
Could you imagine getting that kind of just...
tap?
Just, God.
He's such a talented guy. Was, unfortunately, Chadwick Boseman. I mean, the James Brown thing was underrated, I thought. And I also like the Jackie. He did a great job in Jackie Brown.
Yeah, he was great.
Not a great film. It was okay, but he was a great actor.
That movie he just did, Ma Rainey's Big Black Bottom, the movie was okay, but he was fantastic in it.
I didn't see it yet.
He gives a monologue that's ridiculous.
Killmonger has 3,000 prosthetic scars for every person that he had killed. Took 2 hours a day for makeup for him just for that alone. The Wakanda salute, the hands crossed the chest, was a creation of three different aspects. Pharaohs were buried in that pose. Also, West African sculptures were done as well in that pose. And that sign also means hug in American Sign Language.
Wow.
I don't know how to pronounce this. I'm going to fuck it up royally. Xhosa, X-H-O-S-A, is the language of South Africa, which also served as the language of Wakanda. So it wasn't
I was wondering if that was a real language or not.
Yeah, it's a real language, not made up. So
it's neat, though, that's a whole career, making up languages, you know, for movies, for alien languages and stuff. I find that pretty interesting. It's probably your only thing about that your linguistics major would do for you.
Well, listen, you can thank those jerk-offs who created the Klingon language and who speak that at Star Trek conventions as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yep, same thing. Yeah, it's a whole language. It's incredible.
Well, Kevin Israel, I am dying to hear how Pat takes down this beloved fan film. This is going to be excellent. So without any further ado, it is time for Pat Dixon to gut the sacred cow.
Man, you guys worked on that.
You know, it's funny. Some people say it sounds great. And then we've had a couple people be like, you guys got to really work on your timing. I don't know. Sometimes we're just in sync.
We've had a few people sing along with us. I mean, 70.
Yeah, that's always, that's my favorite.
Yeah, when they sing along, it's great.
If you did it perfect, it'd be creepy. You know, it'd be weird. I'm looking behind you. I keep waiting for your mom to come in and tell you dinner's ready, you know? It's because the door's.
My wife already made dinner. We're good. But no, Ma, the meatloaf. Pat, the floor is yours, my good man.
All right. Well, what I hate about the movie is just that everything that's said and everything that you see on the screen, it seems kind of calculated to sort of drive home some kind of a social justice message or something like that. You know, maybe even a set of them, you know, like... we have an African country, you know, we think of Africa as being sort of, you know, poor, you know, the resources have kind of been, you know, squandered or used by other people, you know, other than perhaps, you know, maybe the people who originated there. When Wakanda is depicted in the movie, there's like a, I guess it's supposed to be like a tourist area or something. And it's like, it's like an African, you know, trade market or something like that. And yet we have these, like, you know, these super trains that are going through and stuff like that. You know, all these signs, you know, that they have this technology that's beyond, but this is supposed to be a secret. It's very strange, you know, because the whole idea of the movie is that they're hiding their vast wealth and power in order to not, I don't know, become involved with all the rest of the shitheads in the world, you know, and it's like they're very, very snotty and condescending in that way. They truly, and that is sort of true to life, because if you've ever had an African cab driver, you know, they really do think they're better than everybody, you know. African people come from Africa, and everybody will tell you this. Everybody in New York, it's like they have this very strong impression, you know, that you're something on their shoe. So, and in this movie, okay, women are depicted in a certain way, and that is very strong, very smart. You know, every depiction of every woman, she either has this like. You know, super, you know, like their minister of science who comes up with all their gadgets and creates all their scientific, you know, amazements is a woman, which that alone, you know, that's just that women aren't into the STEM field that much, you know, and let alone are they the absolute peak of you know, scientific thinking and math and shit like that. I mean, like, I'm not either, but I know it's not women. They're also, the military is all comprised of women. The warriors, I guess, the defenders of the royalty and the crown and the king and everything like that. All of them. Shaved heads, you know, and they're not wearing military outfits, no uniforms. They're wearing these, like, Flash Gordon-type outfits, you know, like sort of some kind of leather, red leather thing. And not guns, spears. Spears. It's 20, what, 17, this movie is made. They're carrying spears. Yet, it's the most technologically advanced civilization on Earth. I suppose it's part of the hiding thing. When I see female warriors with spears, you know, and they can kick everybody's ass. It doesn't matter. I mean, like, there's scenes with guns, and they're getting shot at, and they have no problem at all fighting their way out of it. Women are strong. We're weaker than men. This is a fact. That's, you know, I mean, you can't, they're not stronger than men and kick men's asses just because you say so in a movie. But this is designed to make women sit there and go, wow, yeah, we're tough and strong. We're the scientific-minded ones. And they speak in this real condescending way to the men, you know, and they, oh, did you freeze? Don't you freeze, you know. And there's a lack of continuity, too, with the accent, by the way, that I want to mention. Like, the film opens in space. There's an animated space scene, and they say this big meteorite made of vibranium hits Africa, right? And it's the strongest metal ever known, and it affected the plant life. So then this meteorite they settle on it. Five tribes do. They call that Wakanda. And as they thrive, the world around them descended into chaos. So, you know, Wakanda, now a nation of people, keeps this secret, you know, that they are, they want to keep this powerful metal thing on the down low. Now we're in Oakland, 1992, and there's two guys planning a heist, right?
Mm-hmm.
The guy, the chief heistman, I guess, you know, and you can tell they're planning a heist, by the way, because there's guns on the table. I don't know why you have to have guns on the table to plan a heist, but they're like, yeah, and all we have to do is the van and everything, and, you know, they're just speaking like people speak. And then the lead guy kind of gets this sort of look on his face, and he's like, hide the strats, you know, hide the strats, which I guess are the guns.
I think he said straps. Yeah, strap. Yeah.
I have no idea. I've never heard strap.
Yeah. Your straps, like that's what they say, like meaning your cap.
I'm not cut off. I should listen to more NWA, I guess. That was music of that era.
No. That's Bjork, actually, I learned that from.
Oh, Bjork. Well, I'm ignorant as hell. But they come to the door, there's a knock, and it's these two women, you know, from the warriors from, you know, Wakanda, I guess. They're still wearing those same uniforms back in 92, by the way, the exact same thing with their spears, shaved heads. And the guy's partner looks out at the people. He says, couple of Grace Jones looking women, man. And he's like, well, let them in, you know. Grace Jones, by the way, a handy reference that everybody was always ready to break out at any time. So she, they poof,
especially,
you know.
Especially after the success of View to a Kill, which was one of the worst Bonds ever.
Yeah, yeah. Was she the villain in that, or was she?
One of. She was Christopher Walken's henchwoman, if I recall.
Oh, perfect.
She'll always be from Conan for me.
Yeah, so that's the other one, of course.
I only know her from her string of number one hits. Anyway,
Boomerang too, I forgot. Sorry, but yeah, that's another one.
So these women come in and they go, "Who are you?" You know, and the guy starts to speak, and instead of talking like he was, you know, like playing the heist, he suddenly has a thick African accent. You know, I am whoever, son of whoever. You know, and then the poof of smoke or something, and the king is there, and he, you know, the guy in the Black Panther outfit. And it turns out that guy is the king's brother, who, as the king's brother, has been assigned to go to Oakland to see how bad it is, I guess. So he goes to Oakland to find out how bad it is. And then it turns out his partner, and the way they show who they are, they pull the lip down and show this blue, shiny line on their mouth. I'm not really sure what that's supposed to be. But, you know, maybe the healthy gums, I don't know. But the other guy.
They're all in the same fraternity, I think. That's how they brand it.
I think of the tattoo on the inner lip.
Yeah.
Brand.
Yeah.
Well, it's well done. You know, it's certainly wouldn't have seen that. It turns out the other guy who's with him, too, also was sent there as a spy from Wakanda. This whole time they've been planning a heist, I guess, that neither of them really wanted to or intended to do. And then my problem was with the accent, though. Like, why are they suddenly speaking in these thick African accents, you know, when they didn't have them a second ago? It's like, now that it's appropriate, they just, okay, well, this is how I normally talk. You know, it just, and this guy's name is T'Challa, son of Nunchaka, which is, I don't know who's in charge of making up the, you know, Zui, son of Badu, who made up the name. I think that Forrest Whitaker, by the way, you know, he's certainly had an amazing career as an actor, and you know, and everybody really likes Forrest Whitaker, it seems. And I wonder how I'm sure he got paid a lot of money to play Zui, son of Zudi or whatever. But it's this and never ending, like, sort of celebration of the grandiosity of this country and how amazing it is and how they have all this technology, and yet they preserve their primitive sort of, like, exterior, you know. Well, they can hold out their hands and a hologram pops up, you know, and they're watching it and stuff. This vibranium can do anything. There's like a whole they're in spaceships, for Christ's sake, around on spaceships. They're so far ahead of everybody, and yet, you know, they walk around with spears and they've learned to fight with spears, and they have, and they're very progressive, you know. They have, the women are very much like, you know, and I'm not really one to complain about this, but, you know, like, the white characters are depicted in this sort of, they're either, like, evil, or they are stupid, you know. They're either just completely non-factors, or they are just, you know, or the villain, and the names they gave, the name they gave the, one of the villains, Ulysses Claw. Which I thought, perfect. That's definitely the bad guy. Ulysses, sounding like a, you know, name from the 1800s, you know, the bygone era of, you know, whatever happened back then, you know, Claw.
It's a great porn name, by the way, Ulysses Claw. That's good. That's a dude's got a good, like, dick hang right there, right?
Yeah, it's my search terms. I always type in Ulysses Claw. It sounds like a move in wrestling or something. He's got the Ulysses Claw!
Good God, King, that's Ulysses Claw!
The CIA guy is this, like, ineffective, like, kind of bureaucrat, you know, which I guess that's pretty accurate, too, actually. But he ends up sort of, like, joining their side or whatever. And then, basically, the whole idea of the movie is that, you know, our people have been, you know, and they consider everybody, I guess, who is darker pigmented, you know, since we all came from Africa originally. But he considers most people in the movie, they seem to consider them like their people have been, you know, treated so badly. And they flood our neighborhoods. Here's a quote from the movie. The uncle says, I observed for as long as I could, their leaders have been assassinated, communities flooded with drugs and weapons. They are overly policed and incarcerated. I'm like, ripped from the headlines. Wow, really? All over the planet, our people suffer because they don't have the tools to fight back. With vibranium weapons, they could overthrow every country, and Wakanda could rule them all the right way. Which is basically what Hitler had in mind, right? we could overthrow every country and rule them all the right way. It's certainly
same premise as Lord of the Rings, right?
Yeah, so it's I was going to say Rocky. But, you know, just to go the distance. I found the message to be kind of overbearing, and I found, and particularly with the woman thing, you know, having the female warriors, and they're all so smart. One of them at one point rips off her wig, throws it into the face. Sorry to bore you. Throws it into the face of somebody that they're fighting. You know, the throwing a wig in the face move. That's from, like, I saw that on Police Squad, for Christ's sake. You know what I mean? I guess it's a little humor. Your own wig snatch, you know, and use it as a weapon. But
it would have been funnier if the person who had the wig in the face did the Frank Drebin with the sixth Mississippi, the hands over their face for a sixth Mississippi. That would have been so much. That's a great observation, Ben. I love that.
Yeah, the sixth Mississippi would have been great, though. Yeah, it's like for a really long time. On the whole, you know, it's. The fact of its popularity, you know, I think that there's a lot of people who, you know, gun to their head would say Wakanda exists. A bit of a problem, you know. It's about as anti-intellectual and stuff as you can get. There are some good fight scenes in it, so it's not altogether bad. I found some of those pretty exciting. But to gut the sacred cow, to say it's so ham-handed in the way it delivers this you know, message, and it's sort of representation of reality to me was so skewed, particularly again with these super powerful Flash Gordon women that you know, I couldn't get into it, and that's the deal.
Pat, give me a score 1 to 10 from you for Black Panther.
You know, it's funny you said it that way, because I would probably say a 4.
Oh. 4 it is. Kevin Israel, why don't you start this one?
Hey, gang. We here on the show often use the expression, that doesn't happen. You know how we can say that with such confidence? Because we have an actual fucking scientist sponsoring this show. That's right, Mr. A.M. Compson is our new sponsor, and he's helping spread scientific knowledge with his new lecture series. Are you a nerd who thinks school is too tough? Go to A.M. Compson to find books on a wide range of science and mathematics topics. That's university-level teaching at a fraction of the cost. Are you a tough guy who thinks school is for nerds? then go to AM Compson and pick up the night school version of these books, which has the same exact information condensed with punchlines and swearing. New material every few weeks. It's like OnlyFans, but their fathers are actually proud of them. So go to amcompson.com today to start learning science. That's amcompson.com.
So this movie does something that a lot of science fiction and superhero movies do. It has one giant MacGuffin that it just rides through the entire movie, and that's vibranium. Vibranium can do literally anything. And I don't know. I tried tracking all the different things it could do. I mean, obviously, it can make indestructible metal and Captain America's shield and whatnot. But it also seems to be a power source. It infected the plant so it can give him superpowers. They put a vibranium ball into the CIA agent's back to heal him. It's like vibranium could just do anything and everything you need at any point without explanation. And so that it bothered me more on rewatch, I think, on the first time you're so taken by the visuals of the movies that I didn't pick up on it right away. But all I can say is as a fan of Wolverine, adamantium can do one thing: cut through shit. That's it. And I'm good with that. Nobody drank an adamantium soup and became Wolverine.
Wrong. Lady Deathstrike did.
No, she just got it. She got it melted. It was melted and injected into her.
Infused. Sorry, infused. Excuse me. Sorry.
Going from there, for some reason, when they showed his father, I was like, wasn't James Earl Jones his father? I was like, that's a completely different movie. The fact that no one in this movie... And speaking of James Earl Jones, the fact that nobody in this movie, and it takes place at the right amount of times, nobody ever tells a Coming to America joke in this movie. I feel like somebody at some point should have, because even in the Coming to America 2, they made a Black Panther joke. Like, they should have just given a little nod that, like, yeah, we know we made a civilization that kind of looks like that one from Coming to America, but better. So, like, just a little something.
About maybe a McDowell's that they stop into.
Yeah, something. Have Mortimer sitting in the back, you know, with counting money now.
Shuri, I am hungry. Let us drop the spaceship down in McDowell's. That's hilarious. Yes. Good call. Great call.
That museum heist, the security in that museum is the worst security that has ever been hired, and they need to rethink their entire security protocols. The guy comes in, and he poisons the girl. The curator, whatever she is, they then shoot everybody in the museum, and it's all just because they rerouted the feed to the camera, which has been done in almost every heist movie ever. But nobody's like, oh, by the way, there's an ambulance outside, and they're taking people out. The entire security is just staring at the screen, going, "Can't be. We're looking at the screen. Nothing's happening." No, you're wrong. The screen shows the same thing over and over again.
Can I comment on that? The whole reroute is done just by she looks at her phone and it's like camera reroute, you know.
Right.
So it's like very plain. It's like there's a camera reroute app you can get, I guess.
Well, they explained it in Speed originally. They did it once in Speed, and then every other movie was like, you know how they did it. We're going to do that too. We don't need to explain it.
True. I think his girlfriend in the coffee shop is the one who poisoned her.
I think you're right. It was. Yeah. That was exactly what it was.
That's how they did it, yeah.
Yes, I think that now. Yeah, you're right.
During the battle for it to be king, they put on those helmets, and I feel like those helmets would be the last thing I'd want to wear while I was fighting. I don't care if it kind of protected my head. These are supposed to be like great warriors with great techniques, and they put on these like Stone Age helmets with to cover their face to fight each other. That just seemed batshit crazy to me.
May I also say that it's a fight to the death or yield, so what the hell's the helmet for?
Right, exactly, exactly.
One of you will die.
Although I do think that this is a great way to choose our leaders, and I think we should start choosing our leaders this way, where the entire country just forms a circle and watches two guys beat the shit out of each other. That would have made this past presidential election much more entertaining.
much shorter. They do it in the water for some reason. Why are they fighting in water?
Right.
At the edge of a waterfall.
Right. Then he goes to the afterlife to talk to his father, and his father comes back in the body of the same old man that he died as.
I'd like to think that in my afterlife, if I come back to talk to somebody, I'm my like 26-year-old studly self with a six pack and my original hairline. Like if I come back with my glass eye, his father had a glass eye, by the way, and my 60-year-old gut, I'm going to be really disappointed with the afterlife.
Yeah. He was a Panther until the guy got there. Remember, he materializes right, out of the
Panther. I would have chosen to stay as the Panther. Can we all agree, and I probably shouldn't say this, but the head female guard looks like Leslie Jones. And every time I see it, I'm like, how come nobody ever – and she's tall and built – like she looks like Leslie Jones. And she looks exactly like Leslie Jones. I just want that out there, and now somebody's going to end up yelling me because I – said that
she's in better shape.
Yeah, that's true. Ulysses Klaue, which by the way, I had the subtitles on, so I know his last name is spelled Klaue or something like that. Which just spell it fucking Claw. Like we get it, you're being cute. He's kind of whatever. His accent is completely indiscernible. I don't know. I feel like he took all the accents and just put them together. And that was his accent. I don't know.
I figured it out. I call that drunk Scottish.
That's exactly what it sounded like.
Yeah. Or just Scottish, actually. Or just Scottish, actually.
Just Scottish. Gavin McInnes speaks that, yeah. That same language, got the same accent. I found him to be the only character with any real charisma in the whole movie. You know, everybody else is taking it so serious, yeah.
I was disappointed they killed him. He was a complete psychopathic nutcase who seemed to be having fun in the movie. Like he was kind of the only guy that seemed to be having fun in the movie. And I feel like somebody in all these movies should always be having some kind of, I mean, it's a superhero movie and it's a bright, flashy superhero movie. I guess his sister kind of seems like she's having fun.
Yeah, but she was.
She's laughing at us, not with us though.
The car chase scene through downtown random Asian country was awesome.
Korea. Yeah.
Oh, it's South Korea. That's right.
Yeah. I think it was Seoul, but okay.
That was an awesome chase scene, but both cars were made out of pure vibranium, and apparently Lexus makes vibranium cars. How did that contract work out? We're going to ship you some material. Don't ask what it is. Just make it into an LX400 for us, please. And then, by the way, they're made out of vibranium, which is indestructible. Ulysses Klaue shoots him with his hand cannon that they never really, I guess it's the alien, the Shindari technology, shoots him with that and the car explodes into pieces. How good is this vibranium shit? And then to make it even worse, they destroy a car flying, doing 80 miles an hour, hits, car explodes, and then she just slides along in the chair with the holding the steering wheel. It's like, that's out of a cartoon. That's not out of a modern day. She would have been in pieces with the rest of the car.
It wasn't she virtually driving. That's very true, by the way. But didn't she just drop? She's like in a computer.
That was the other. There was two cars. That was the car that he was on that also gets blown up and into pieces, making you question how good this vibranium stuff is.
Yeah, even regular cars don't do that. But yeah, good point. Those car chases were exciting.
So then Killmonger comes along and just walks in, and he's already been he's king. He's already been thrown, crowned. He's king. He just comes along and goes, I challenge you. And he asked it like that's a crazy way to handle your leadership, that at any point somebody can just challenge your leadership. And he goes, oh, I'll accept. How about you worry about the continuity of your government and not so much about your pride, dickhead? Because this guy's coming in out of nowhere. They don't even do a genetic test or anything. He's got a ring and a tattoo on his lip, which I'm pretty sure by then on the black market they would have been able to reproduce. And he's just like, yeah, I'll fight this guy. Who we already know is, and this is, I love when movies do this. When movies want to establish that somebody's a badass, they just go, he was a Navy SEAL. And you go, oh, okay, he's clearly.
The blanket statement of them all. Yeah, Green Beret.
I'm not saying Navy SEALs aren't badasses. They 100% are. But I feel like it's just this moniker given in movies that's just like, well, how are we going to establish he's a badass? He's either a Green Beret or a Navy SEAL. It's like Navy SEAL and Green Beret is a little beneath it. But
it's kind of a funny shorthand. Yeah.
Right, right.
It's the same thing for like a policeman. He's a loose cannon, guys. Watch out. Right.
Exactly.
Yes.
Yeah. He plays by his own rules.
Yeah, there's another. Backup, no time for backup. Boom, right in that building.
I really want to battle Rhinoceros. I feel like those rhinos were not used nearly enough in this movie. The minute they showed that rhinoceros and the guy from Get Out petting the rhinoceros, I was like, that's going to be the coolest thing that's in this movie, and it's definitely going to come back. And even when it came back, even though they were fighting on the wrong side, I was like, I want the rhinoceros. I don't care who wins. I just want the rhinoceros to make it out of this all right, because I care about animals.
Yeah, they're really, and to call them is very easy. They're very obedient. You just whoop, and then there
and
they are.
Fast. They were right there.
Yeah.
They just showed up right away.
Yep.
I feel so. The end of the movie, I was kind of disappointed by, because so first of all, now that, unfortunately, as Kev said, Chadwick passed away, there's a whole discussion about what they're going to do with the next Black Panther. And it looks like the sister is going to take on the moniker of Black Panther, which I think is ridiculous. Like, she is the smallest, skinniest person in the movie. I could understand least if the chief of his guard became Black Panther. If you want to make a woman Black Panther, make that head of the guard Black Panther.
But Leslie sister, Jones.
Yeah. The sister weighs like 85 pounds. I won't be able to buy into that. But what they should have done is they should have said that Killmonger never died. He looked like he died. And then they were able to save Bucky. So they did the same thing to him. And he comes back and he takes on the mantle because he's seen the Arab's ways or something.
He's been an evil guy the whole movie, right? And then at the end, he says one redeeming thing, and we're just like, "Wow, he's great! Right. Cool, let him live."
Didn't he kill himself when he said it's better to better to die on your feet than live on your knees or some shit like that? I thought he offed himself right there.
Yeah, I mean, but look, you can always retcon it a little bit. I just feel like they have a great actor who would do a great job as Black Panther that they could have reworked it somehow, and the audience would have gone, "Okay." But they don't want to recast Black Panther because Chadwick owns. And I get it. Chadwick was an amazing actor. Nobody's going to take that away from him. But it's a superhero character. Recasting him isn't spitting in Chadwick's face the memory of Chadwick Boseman. I think people are taking it a little too sensitively. But the one thing I am really disappointed about that they didn't do, and I was sure they were 100% going to do it when I saw this in the theater, when Black Panther gives the press conference and he starts telling everybody that, now we're coming out and we're going to share all our shit with you and everything's going to be great and blah, 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 blah. And they said, I think they said to him, well, who are you? Or something like that. I was sure he was going to say, I saw somebody do this once. I'm Black Panther.
Yeah.
To nod to Iron Man.
Yeah.
Because it was the exact same ending. It was the exact same kind of press conference ending. And then they didn't. And I was like, why didn't they? Did nobody even thought it? Like, I can't be that brilliant. Like, somebody on
set. They did that in Batman too, right? I'm Batman.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that was his thing. But So yeah, for me, this was it was an okay origin movie. My biggest problem overall with the movie is it felt like a very rushed timeline. Like, there was no sense of that anything spanned over. Like, the whole movie feels, and I'm pretty sure it probably does, take place over the course of 2 weeks, maybe. Like, all of this happens in a very short amount of time. He becomes king. The guy shows up, challenges him, wins. He completely changes the path of the entire society and is going to send all the weapons out to the whole world. Everybody goes, okay, you're king. We got to do it. And then Chadwick comes back and battles him and everything's fit. Like, at least if they made you feel that he was – that T'Challa was king for, I don't know, a few months and then this happened and then, some other stuff – it just felt like all of this happened in the matter of a few days, and that's it. And now it's done. And
yeah, you're right. I'm sorry. It would have taken place over months, Like, have him come in and start changing all the policies and stuff, opening up the southern border, letting trans people in the military, all that kind of stuff.
They had a legislative body that had to approve it. I mean, it's not that easy reform.
Today's agenda on the Wakanda military: don't ask, don't tell.
And battle rhinoceros shit. Nobody's cleaning up your battle rhinoceros shit. We need to get on that. We need a committee.
Yeah. Oh, those are for the guys in the boot camp.
Anyway, this was, like Pat said, visually it's a cool movie. There's a lot of cool fights. There's a lot of cool battles. This definitely wasn't one of my favorite Marvel movies. It's not a movie that I go back and watch a lot because I don't think, as an origin story, I don't think it's all that unique from other movies. And Chadwick Boseman does a great job, but it's okay to me. It's not. It's definitely not great. I mean, for me, it would be a it's probably a five.
Well, that's it. We're canceled. Nice knowing everybody. Have a good one. Take care. Three white guys saying the Black Panther. Whoops.
All is it right, too soon?
Five, and Pat, you gave it a four. All right, here I go. Let's go. All right, these notes, of course, sponsored by guttingthesacredcow.com. Every day you find blog articles. Come over to our merch shop, grab a bag, grab a mug, grab a shirt, grab a hoodie, grab whatever the fuck your little heart desires. GTSC Podcast, and if you want to advertise with us, Kevin Israel showing the mug right there. At guttingthesacredcow@gmail.com to advertise with us and have us help your brand improve.
Warning, this podcast is inappropriate, dumb, and should not be listened to. Oral discretion advised.
I do this in the name of science.
Jeff, which kid took the gummy bears?
Can you name a famous trombone player?
How do you know my name? I'm Santa.
That was the best I've ever seen.
Thanks, bro.
Every episode is a different story with different people played by different actors. Sometimes.
I know I've told you this before, but I don't like you.
Is this because we want to get a dog?
Pow!
We got a dog!
Wham!
Let's get a dog!
Toledo! You're disrespecting painting, you Can you believe he said that?
No, man. Can't change my mind on this. I wish for a bigger
Boy, if I was listening to this on some other podcast that was running a trailer for it, I would sure go listen to it. You know what? Split second decision. All of it's real. Yes, I would murder Santa Claus. Check us out wherever you listen to podcasts.
Fat Tango Presents is a monthly scripted comedy show. Each episode is a self-contained short story that showcases the sick, twisted senses of humor of its creators. Episodes range from podcast parodies to supernatural encounters and cartoonish ridiculousness. New episodes release the first Monday of every month. Fat Tango is also launching its podcast network this month, so go to their website, fattangoproductions.com, and follow them on social media, at Fat Tango Podcast on Twitter, and at Fat Tango Productions on Instagram. Thanks again, guys. Here we go.
Notes. They really did up Wakanda. This is probably one of the most beautiful pieces designed by Marvel. This and Asgard and Thor, probably the top two set pieces designed. This film was fun. Well, you know, I'll get to it in a minute, but I would love to watch this film with one other person, and that's actually two people, a bottle of Jameson and Gino Visconti, because that would make some of the most interesting commentary for this film ever. All of the CGI powers that Marvel has, and they can't fix Forrest Whitaker's lazy eye. What the fuck is wrong with you people?
Oh, that's right. He had one, and the father
and the
had one.
Yeah, the bottom one, yeah. Some of you people get you like that? Thank you.
Yeah, that was good.
Some of you get buried in sand and see your elders and you know your family lost family members. I like to be buried in red sand and have a vision of banging Robin Givens from Boomerang. Technology and the gadgets are fantastic in this film. They really went out all above. Here's something else. All Killmonger had to do was take out a teacup and spoon and then take out Black Panther's buddy who took care of the rhinos. It's a get-out joke that only one of the two of them got. Okay, moving on. Killmonger's body looks like an allergy test gone awry with all those raised bumps all over his body. That motherfucker must be allergic to everything. And then I read, oh, that's for everyone that he has killed. Next time, corporate America, if you're in corporate America like we are, if you have a meeting and that one asshole blabbermouth who usually starts sentences with, let me piggyback off of that. Start making ape sounds like the Ape King did at that CIA guy. He goes, no, you do not talk. And they go, hoo, hoo, hoo. I'm just going to do that in my next meeting when people I don't like start talking.
Could you please do that and videotape it? That would be – you won't be working there much longer, but it'll go viral.
Killmonger, he's in the bottom five of the top 10 villains. He's a real badass in this. I think Marvel did a good job with him, as did Michael B. Jordan playing him. Marvel is so good, they can take secondary and tertiary characters and tell wonderful stories. I had no desire to see this. I had no desire to see Doctor Strange. Doctor Strange was great. This film has very little fat. I thought it told the origin story well, moved along, had a kick-ass villain into it. Post-credit scenes, though, nothing special. This is a very short section of notes because we're not going to get canceled, Kevin. But this is a solid film. a solid film. It is in the second tier of Marvel films. And for those of you listening, this is not the first black superhero film. The first black superhero film was a little film in 1998 called Blade, which was done better than this, I will say.
Motherfuckers always trying to ice skate uphill.
Yeah.
What about Handyman?
Or Blank Man.
Blank Man, right, yeah.
Yep. This is a good film, a very good film, but it is not as magical and perfect as people make it out to be. Through no fault of its own, it was shot to the stratosphere by the blowhard critics who wanted to, whatever reasons they had. I like this film. Does it pass the remote test? Pat, the remote test, of course, if you're watching it and you happen to flip upon it on cable and you stumble upon it at any juncture of the film, do you stop, drop the remote and go, well, I'm going to watch it at whatever point this is and finish it up? This does not pass the remote test. It's one of those weird films where I like it. It's good, but it doesn't pass the remote test. It's not as captivating as some of the other films out there, like Endgame or Infinity War or Dark Knight or Blade or whatever. I like this. This is good. I definitely see your reasons why. It strikes a better note for me. I'm giving it a 7 out of 10.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
The fire engine agrees.
Yeah.
It's good. It's not as great as everyone made it out to be. And that's that. Let's get into the critics' 5-star reviews.
5-star reviews. 5-star reviews by critics.
Sure, Black Panther. By the way, you thought, Kevin Israel, that the reviews in Get Out were divisive? Holy shit. Boy, is this a red state, blue state battle extraordinaire. And we're going to read both sides because that's how we play it here. Sure, Black Panther is a mainstream superhero with jaw-dropping action, balletic fight scenes, and a CGI spectacle. But it all is also a measured and extraordinary exploration of race and pride. Here's the thing you can enjoy. I know it's going to get deeper. You can enjoy Black Panther without having seen a single Marvel film beforehand. It is a standalone gem that I'll buy. Black Panther.
I mean, you could say that about any of the origin movies, though, that you could see him without. Like, that's the point of the origin movie.
Yeah.
It's the origin, right?
Yeah. Well, you needed to see Iron Man 3, 2 and 1 before you saw 3. Yeah. Black Panther not only stands up as a Hollywood blockbuster, but conveys an adult and chronological context that touches upon slavery, the civil rights movement, Black Lives Matter, and the current African-American plight. This is someone shoehorning their own agenda into review for a film for 4 years ago.
Yep.
I agree with that.
You know there must be something special about a superhero movie, an action superhero movie at that, to get my mother to see that movie, and not just once. Critics 1-star reviews.
Critics 1-star reviews. Critics 1-star reviews.
It is one of the worst in the Marvel Universe, and as an action blockbuster, I find it conventional and awkward. Full review in Spanish. This film is painfully average. It does so much in every area, but actually tell a riveting story. It does
nothing. I think I agreed with that. I'm not sure, but I think I agreed with what they said.
You think it's painfully average?
Yeah.
I guess by your score you do. Okay. All right. It does truly nothing distinct from every other Marvel Studios offering. That I disagree with. It will be first in line. If they can sucker me into paying for outdated special effects, yeah, are you out of your ridiculous fucking tits? And a movie I've seen many times over, they have another thing coming. Get ready for a wild one. Black Panther turns racial politics into what Malcolm X called politricks. The media's enthusiasm for this bland action flick is maddening. The progress isn't one particular movie, but the celebration of the illusion of progress, in quotes. The plotting is predictable, and the action sequences, for the most part, unengaging. Black Panther is a major disappointment.
Wow.
Oh, boy, that's really, really harsh.
Yeah, scathing.
That was written by Pat Dixon.
Yeah, I wrote that, yeah. I stand by the harshness. No, sorry.
No, Pat, go ahead. You wanted to say something? Go right ahead.
You know, I have the movie on right now, the sound down, so watching it again, and I'm looking at this scene in heaven when he's talking to his dad. I guess it's heaven or whatever. And it's funny, man. It looks like the scenes at the Natural History Museum, you know, that the that they've placed people in. It's like, it just looks so weirdly fake. Anyway, yeah, please.
It did look very inauthentic.
Yeah, and there are some breathtaking. I mean, again, I'm watching. It's like the visuals on it are. I should give credit for that.
It's very beautifully shot. I don't think you can argue that is right. Amazon 5-star reviews.
Amazon 5-star review the ooze. It's time for Amazon 5-star reviews. 5-star reviews.
Here we go. You couldn't pay me to believe that the 1-star reviewers even watched Black Panther. Bottom line is that there was an orchestrated effort to drive the reviews down for this movie by people who didn't care for BP for very obvious reasons. For the rest of you who are actually open-minded, absolutely rent this if you haven't seen it yet.
Well, I don't like that. I mean, it seems a little unfair, you know what I mean? Like, there's no way you could watch this movie and give it a 1-star review. I mean, that's ridiculous.
Well, dig in, Pat. The characters are well-developed, including one of the best movie villains ever. Killmonger manages to be both sympathetic and terrifying in a way that hasn't really been the same since introduction of Magneto in the X-Men films. While we won't accept his actions, we can certainly understand where his motivations come from, and his overall point is one that many can agree with, up until he goes overboard. The themes of this movie are very compelling as well. It is easily a top 5 Marvel movie. Boy, here we go. Really into the deep end on the one side. Outstanding! Finally, a film that depicts people of color in a superhero positive light. Star, representing action African culture with incredible galaxy-class technology, style, and humor. Star. So it's a fantasy film, essentially of most black history, parentheses, and the history of most people of color. Hooray, Indigenous Peoples Day. Has been systematically butchered, negative, false, and insulting, e.g. fantasy, 2 stars. I would recommend this film as a must-see for all schools, inner city and disadvantaged schools, foster homes, and privileged, in quotes, schools, institutes, to introduce an uplifting positive image and concept to all children. The inferiority stigma has got to go. Yes to integrity, class, style, elegance, 2 stars, upside down exclamation point, word up, up with umlauts, 2 stars, signed, Donald Trump.
Well,
I mean, what a far off the board, Jesus Christ.
It's
the overboard.
I'd love a black superhero movie that didn't take on so much responsibility to tell the whole story. You know what I mean? It doesn't have to be so central to the entire endeavor, in my opinion. You know,
Hancock,
Blade, Bad Boys. I'm gonna get you, sucker. No. Last one. Ready? Best movie ever. People giving this movie horrible reviews have hidden agendas. Signed, Michael Richards. And for the other side of the pond, Amazon 1-star reviews.
Amazon 1-star reviews.
Wow. After all the hype, I was super disappointed in this film. Here's why. The CGI sucked and was extremely subpar for a Marvel Universe film. The soundtrack was terrible. What? That's not true. I love African tribal drums, and a really good opportunity was wasted here with what comes to be mostly a generic orchestration. The fight choreography was lackluster. The plot wasn't very good either. So many plot elements that did not make sense for certain characters. Also, it was sad to see so many African-American actors butcher their African accents. Would have been good to bring a vocal coach in for those that needed it. All in all, this film was not very engaging, but seemed to be full of deep symbolism, which made it very off balance. It could have been a cultural masterpiece like The Lion King, but what we got was a B-movie production with an A-movie budget. While this was not the worst Marvel film, it was definitely the most overrated and should not have won so many awards and nominations. Okay. Absolutely sucked. What a joke. Must be nice to have people tell you your movie is awesome simply because they are afraid of the repercussions if they don't.
Wow.
Don't waste your money. Terrible for film. Plot was bad and the story was poor. Way to globalization. Way too globalization oriented and political. They're missing a noun in there. Not worth the rental price. Racist, stupid, and then much more racist. Token white guy. Why? The accents are so bad that I wish this movie had more subtitles. The Australian Hulk Hogan wannabe as the bad guy is not worth having on screen. Then the movie degenerates in the smack talk. This movie has way too much CGI. Signed, Chris Hemsworth.
Australian Hulk Hogan wannabe.
Yeah, that was the claw.
I guess.
Yeah. Phony Africa. This movie is a farce, made up mythology. Bring up true untold African history. Plenty to tell. Signed, Flavor Flav. A really bad movie with horrible acting.
I would have thought there'd be more rhymes in it. I'm sorry.
He didn't jump on 9-1.
Yeah, I hope he doesn't see what they did reference to Norse mythology. He's going to be really upset with that if he sees Thor.
Yeah. A really bad movie with horrible acting by Michael Jordan Jr. Okay. Yo, I want the throne, cuz, in quotes. I was really excited to see this movie, but I couldn't help but think how it reminded me of The Lion King in plot, except with a political undertone against the white oppressors. The plot was dull and very predictable. I find it hard to believe that Marvel could be this bad. Oh, really? Did you see Thor Dark World? I did, and it did get horrible. And
you know what? He does make one good point, and I really hesitate to say this because it's not going to come out the right way. There's the scene when they first introduce Killmonger, and he's in the he's going through the museum looking at all the stuff, and then he goes and then he and they when after they rob everything, he goes to take the mask, and Claw goes, "Is that made out of vibranium too?" And he goes, "Nah, I'm just feeling it." That felt like a line that was written by a white guy. Like, that was such a like we get it. We get that he's not talking like the very proper African, the Wakandans, but like, it just felt like such a forced like street talk. Like, we got to establish that he's from the street, not for. I hated that line so much, and it felt like it was like, all right, we get who he is. And by the way, meanwhile, he was in the military. He had a very successful career. Besides that, I feel like that wasn't necessarily who this character was, but they needed to do it for like the white crowds to go, oh, okay, we know who he is.
You mean like Chevy Chase going in St. Louis in National Lampoon's Vacation? Hey, Holmes, can you tell me how to get back to the expressway? Man, exactly. Fuck your exactly. Mama. Roll him up.
He also said in that scene, that very same robbery scene, like the wisdom that he had, like, you know, he points out that she's drinking the coffee that's going to poison her. And he mentions that you've been watching me since the moment I came in, but you don't watch what you put in your body. Mm-hmm. You know, it was something about that kind of rubbed me wrong. Like, oh, you're mocking her now that you've poisoned her to death. That's good. But can I point out, I think now, wasn't the name of the villain in The Lion King also Claw?
Scar.
Oh, Scar. Damn.
Yeah.
Different. That's way different. That's four completely different letters. My bad. I never saw that movie.
What's that? You never saw Lion King?
Never saw Lion King.
You know, I didn't see it until maybe a few years ago, and I got to say, wasn't impressed. It was all right. And I like Disney movies. The Pixar shit's fucking fantastic. I think Aladdin was great. I just think Lion King, I don't know. I mean, I was, 17 when it came out. And I still saw Disney films. I didn't give a shit. I have a younger sister. She's not dead. I have her. But, you know, we've seen all the Disney shit. But it just didn't hit me. It just never hit me. Like, it hit a lot of other people.
So, yeah, or some people really love it.
Oh, yeah. Oh, please. I mean, hell, they made a Broadway fucking play about it. And I could give two shits. Kevin Israel, did Pat Dixon gut the sacred cow?
This is a tough one. This movie made $1 billion. Gutting this one is going to be hard. You made a lot of very good points and not necessarily wrong points, but I think this movie still stands on its, and even I mean, I gave it a 5, but I think it stands as a, for me, it stands as a 5, but like Kev said, you know, some people really, really liked it. So I don't think he completely got it, but he definitely gave it a couple good shots.
Well, yeah. I appreciate that. Yeah. This is more like the sacred, you know, armor wearing rhinoceros. I think it's a little bit tougher to take down.
Exactly.
Yeah, what a short, by the way, what a short shrift Daniel Kaluuya, I think his name was, from Get Out, who played the armor, the rhino guy. It's just like, he already got his chance to spread his wings. really as much as you thought. Like, why would you have a guy who just, you know, won an award, I think, or came close to, and put him in that role where there's nothing really for them to kind of showcase? I thought that was a little odd. Yeah, listen, I agree, Pat. You made a lot of good points in there, yeah, and agree with some of them. And you're right. I think we would all agree that this film is not the fucking on the Mount Rushmore of Marvel films, especially. It's good. I think it's good. It's not excellent like others make it up. It's not what it's represented to be. Other people think it is.
May I say I fully accept your judgment. I think it's accurate. I watched the movie strictly for this show, so being fully aware that I would not like it from what I'd heard about it, so maybe that's the wrong. I think to really, really gut the sacred cow, you have to at one point have been really excited about the film, you know, and I think because the bitterness of that disappointment, it really does fuel the attack, you know, in a way that, you know, watching it cynically, you know, from the beginning, doesn't.
That's fair. Yeah, that's a good analysis.
Actually, before we cut out, Kevin, the resident comic book nerd here, Black Panther, did you read Black Panther? How was the storyline? No. If you did?
He was a very secondary character. Like, I know now all of these characters feel like they were so huge. But he really wasn't that big of a character. In fact, because I read a lot of X-Men, I read Wolverine, I read all the different X series, and I don't think I encountered Black Panther once in my decade plus of collecting comic books.
Gotcha. Okay.
Pat, he's in the Weather Underground.
What's that?
Nothing. Forget it. Pat, I'm honored to be here. Thank you so much for having me.
Pat, thanks so much for coming on. Tell everybody where we can find you and what you're up to.
If people just subscribe to New York City Crime Report on iTunes or, you know, wherever you get your podcast, that would be the best way to, you know, keep up with what I'm up to. It's like a once or twice a week, usually, podcast about crime in New York City. It's like the New York Post with punchlines, all the craziest crime stories in New York City, and some analysis of them, you know, and I have cops, I have comics, I've got, you know, a good variety of, you know, people who come on and talk with me about it. It's always a blast. And so New York City Crime Report with Pat Dixon. Thanks for the opportunity.
Our pleasure. Kevin Israel, how about yourself? What's going on with you?
KevinIsrael.com. Some comedy dates are slowly rolling in. You can see me once a month up at Foxwoods in Connecticut. And my album, The Struggle Is Real, available on iTunes and everywhere else that you get that kind of stuff.
KevinGoatee.com. Hopefully not doing any more teacher happy hours on Zoom for comedy. So let's move past that. GuttingTheSacredCow.com, more importantly, where you can find everything, blogs, links to the website for the merch shop. But if you have not yet done so, new fans and new friends, please leave a 5-star rating, 2 or 3 sentence review on the podcast platform of your choice, YouTube as well. We're on everywhere, Spotify, iHeartRadio, obviously iTunes, Spreaker, Stitcher, you name it. And we're there at GTSC Podcast on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram is Gutting the Sacred Cow. And we're on Clubhouse every Tuesday night at 9 o'clock. We're doing a little comedy room on Clubhouse. On Thursday nights, we're doing at 8 o'clock on Eastern Standard Time. We do the movie talk room. So we go, Kevin and Kevin talk movies on Clubhouse Thursday nights, and Kevin and Kevin's 9 o'clock comedy room on Clubhouse. Give that a check out as well. Pat Dixon, thanks again for having us, man. We really appreciate you joining us and talking. And folks, we'll see you next time. Take care.